This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Sheffield United fan show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Higgins. I don't know why. You can maybe tell when you're listening to me. I'm smiling. The smile is big. I'm laughing because I enjoy this half an hour. It is the Blades takeover. And it's not just the Blades takeover. It's the Blades fans takeover. You can have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. The reason for that smile, well, it's twofold, isn't it? Obviously, Sheffield United beating Aston Villa on the weekend 2-0. The brilliant run in that Premier League continues. Chris Wilder stating perceptions are starting to change of his side. One man who was already ahead of the curve, he knew the perception of the team. It was the correct one. It is the brilliant James Shield from the Sheffield Star who joined us now. James, always a pleasure to get you on. We get to talk and cover a lot on this show, but once again, something that we do quite a lot, we're covering a win. Another 3 points, another victory.
It's becoming a real habit, this, isn't it? But a pleasant one to get into. I don't think it's anyone most people listening to this show are going to want to kick, are they? It's a lovely habit to be in, and do you know what? What makes it even more pleasing is it's a habit that they really do deserve to be in as well. There's been no fluke to their climb up to seventh in the table. In fact, they finished that game against Aston Villa in fifth. And when you look at some of the company that Sheffield United are keeping up towards the top of the Premier League table, I think it really does bode well for the future. They've got some tough games coming up, we all know that, but I think, you know, the very fact that they've managed to sort of maintain their place up towards the top of the division, even until this stage of the season, I think that really does tell you something about not only the talent, but also the tenacity within that squad.
Yeah, absolutely. James, for people that are just joining the show or they've listened to us regularly each week, you know, every week we talk about someone new or a part of the game that's, you know, that's exciting us. But every week it's more adjectives, more superior words in ways to describe this team. But it is a team effort and back-to-back wins now in the Premier League for the first time in 13 years. And that was quite astounding to me because we mentioned the defensive foundations. We mentioned those clean sheets on the road. But back-to-back wins in the first time, it just felt like another box ticked, another milestone reached.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Charlie. And I think when you look at who those two wins came against, Norwich City and Aston Villa, who of course were the two clubs who came up from the Championship with Sheffield United last season, I think they were really, really significant wins because, you know, as I said, there are going to be some really tough games coming up at over the Christmas period. And although they're seventh in the table, although, you know, it sounds ridiculous to say so, but they're pushing for European qualification. You know, the table is sort of still pretty squeezed below them, so the more daylight they can put between themselves and teams like Norwich City and Aston Villa, who also came up, I think the better it sort of bodes for the future. But I thought possibly that win over Aston Villa was even more impressive, even though it was at home, than the one over Norwich City 6 days earlier. Because, you know, although there was a lot of sort of similarities between the two clubs, and I did a piece on this in the week, you know, most obviously the fact that they both got promoted from the Championship last season, they've both got, you know, fans of their respective clubs, controlling sort of events from the dugout, Dean Smith being a Villa fan, Chris Wilder being a United fan, and although both of their captains are fans of the club, they're two clubs with very different sort of modus operandi, if you like. And whereas Villa, and I don't mean this in any critical sort of sense whatsoever, of being able to sort of call upon the resources of two billionaire owners, Sheffield United have had to go about things a slightly different way. So I think, you know, it just goes to show that there is a place for sort of intelligent and, you know, recruitment in football. And you know, as we've said countless times before, there are players who you can sort of pick up for a song, as it were, certainly in footballing terms, who can can go on to become really sort of, you know, really talented and really effective top five players.
Absolutely. And when you mention those players, James, it's interesting because, you know, when you talk about certain teams, you go, oh, he's the stalwart of that team. You know, he's the symbolic leader. You know, without him, you know, they wouldn't be the team they are. But you don't get that in Sheffield United. And that's a compliment. That's not a knock, because I'm not saying they don't have that standout player, but they are, to me, the image, the definition of a team. And that was highlighted in that first goal. That first goal was just a brilliant team goal. You've got Basham, you've got Fleck. It just, the movement in it, just everyone has a role to play, and everyone plays their part so wonderfully, don't they?
I think, do you know what, you've touched on something really important there, Charlie, and there's been a lot of sort of, I don't know, talk in Sheffield, if you like, this week about some of the sort of the analysis and some of the punditry, not on this show, I hasten to add, that has sort of accompanied Sheffield United's journey through the Premier League this season, and not all of it's been, you know, I wouldn't say particularly sort of, I don't like to sort of criticise other people in the game, but not all of it's been particularly on mark, as it were. I think, you know, there's an awful lot of people there who's still out there who still get Sheffield United wrong. And sort of, you know, they've called them sort of a pretty basic side, they've called them pretty unsophisticated. But, you know, the system they play is very, very sophisticated. They do have to work very hard at it. But as you just quite rightly said, that system, with the centre-half pushing forward, as you saw with Chris Basham sort of helping to create the first goal, with George Baldock and Ender Stevens, you know, both combining so well for one of the goals at Norwich City the week earlier, the two wing-backs, you know, everybody has to contribute. Everybody has to really be on point for that system to work. And they all have to know their jobs, and they all have to do it correctly. So you're quite right. I think it's when you look at Sheffield United this season, or in fact when you look at them over the course of the three seasons going into this one, it has been a real team effort, but it's been a real team effort in sort of two different parts. One, I think, just in terms of the way that they will help to dig each other out if someone's sort of going through a tough period or someone's coming under an awful lot of pressure on the pitch. You know, they do that sort of cliched thing of fighting for each other, and there is a great team ethic there. But also, I think it's a real team sort of effort and a real team ethic in terms of just the system and the strategy they employ. And I think that's really great. And I also think it's one of the reasons, and we may well get onto this a little bit later, I don't know, but why every different week or over the course of every sort of two-week spell, you're seeing different players emerging and coming to the fore in that team. And I think that's something that is really, really encouraging and will really please Chris Wilder and his coaching staff as well, because it goes to show they're not just hanging the hat on one or two players, you know, that there is more of a sort of a depth of talent and a depth of sort of, you know, strength and resource across that squad than perhaps there are in some of the other teams that have come up in recent years.
Yeah, absolutely. And James, you mentioned that, you know, we mentioned the changing of perceptions, and Chris Wilder mentioned it, and you said, you know, on other stations and other pundits, maybe not giving Sheffield United the credit that they deserve. Ultimately, Chris Wilder, you know, and Sheffield United fans, me and you, they want that credit, but it's not as important as, you know, points this season and wins this season, standing in the Premier League. But how secondary is that, you know, because they'll still want it. How important is it that perception does change, James?
Well, I think it is important because, you know, although, as you quite rightly said, points are the sort of most valuable currency in the Premier League, and Sheffield United wouldn't swap any of the points they've got for any more plaudits. You know, that would be a ridiculous thing to say. But, you know, I think fans of every single club, they all want to feel good about their club, and they all want their club to sort of get the credit that they feel it deserves, and they want other people to talk well about their club. And I think it just sort of creates a feel-good factor around teams across the division when that happens. But do you know what? Even moving beyond that, I think it is also important because as Sheffield United look to progress, and, you know, there's already plans in place for the next transfer window and the one beyond that to possibly keep driving the club forward in terms of the quality of the personnel that they're able to bring in and some of the quality that they'll want to retain that they've already got, and, you know, doubtless will start to attract attention from elsewhere in the division. But I just think you know, if they do begin to get the recognition that they deserve, if they do begin to be sort of talked about in more positive terms, and I think more accurate terms even than has been the case, you know, I think it just helps to make it become an even more desirable destination than possibly Bramall Lane already is.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously you alluded to earlier to the fact that, you know, who knows, up in those European places it's going to be even more attractive, that Bramall Lane, doing what Wolves done similarly last year. But the perception is changing. And one of the things that I really liked after the game that Chris Wilder said happened, and he said, you know, people, that it won't, they won't want it mentioned, but it should be, Dean Smith and John Terry are apparently applauding the Sheffield United players just for their performance after the game, even though they defeated their team.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was nice to see, actually, as well, because although the two teams, you know, they it was a really sort of combative game and sort of no quarter was asked. There was certainly no favours given out on the pitch. But There was a great deal of respect between the two managers, not only during the build-up, but, you know, to the game, but also sort of during the game itself and afterwards as well. And I think that's great to see, you know, just two sets of coaching staff who can appreciate what the other's about. Chris Wilder, of course, was sort of, you know, doing media duties when Aston Villa went up via the playoffs at the end of last season, and there was a nice sort of little touching moment between him and Jack Grealish where they were both sort of paying tribute to each other at the end of the game. And I think that respect, I think it comes from the fact that, you know, Chris Wilder, as I said earlier, he's a fan of Sheffield United. Dean Smith is a fan of Aston Villa. And as Chris was talking about before the game, you know, he said, although in a sense that does help, it helps you sort of create a connection with the supporters, which is so, so important, I think, in football these days, especially as, you know, footballers begin to earn more, and in all other sort of aspects of their life, they can become sort of increasingly divorced from a lot of the people who go and watch them, if you like. So I think that keeping that link is important. But as Chris was speaking about before the game, you know, it also brings added pressures. And I think, you know, he'll know and he'll appreciate and recognise the pressure that Dean Smith was under. And, you know, I'm sure Dean Smith, as he outlined, recognises the pressure that Chris will be putting himself under as well to achieve at the club he's supported since childhood. So I think that was really great to see. And do you know what, as well? Listen, if you look at John Terry's career and the things he's won, I think if he's applauding you off the pitch, you know, with some of the players that he's worked with and some of the medals that he's won, I don't think you're going too far wrong, are you?
Yeah, I think he can appreciate a team with six clean sheets, which is the best defensive record outside the top six, and still haven't lost on their travels, James.
Yeah, do you know what? You're absolutely right. And I think there's an awful lot in that Sheffield United side that John Terry will have probably admired. You know, there's an awful lot of skill in it. You saw, as I said earlier, the little sort of back heel that Chris Basham produced, a centre-half produced to create the first goal. There was a lovely sort of assist as well, a lovely little lofted pass from David McGoldrick, who, you know, that helped sort of carry on the move that John Fleck started and finished. So there was an awful lot of skill on show out there from Sheffield United, but there was an awful lot of camaraderie and an awful lot of sort of commitment and determination as well. So I'm sure John Terry, privately, although he may well not admit it publicly, and I get why, I'm sure privately there was an awful lot he liked about that Sheffield United side.
Yeah, I definitely think he'll be drawing up some notes, him and Dean Smith, trying to work on the special ingredient that Sheffield United have, not just this year, but in the last few years under Wilder. Terrific rise. The fact I get to talk about it with you is just a pleasure for me. But we are looking towards that Brighton game next, James, and maybe talking a few of those January transfer rumours.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You are listening to the Sheffield United Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm still joined by the brilliant James Shield from the Sheffield Star. James, we were just talking about the victory on the weekend, beating Villa there, the side that came up with Sheffield United this season into the Premier League. Just quickly before we move away from that, it dominated us last week. I have to talk about it. You maybe thought you was getting away with it, but the VAR, Jack Grealish, once again, VAR having a little say in a Sheffield United game. What did you make of it?
Yeah, absolutely. You're talking about the penalty incident, I take it. And then I think they reviewed it again, didn't they? When Jack missed the penalty, just to have a look at some sort of possible encroachment. But I think in that instance, the penalty decision was correct. I think John Egan, was sort of guilty of a handball in the penalty area. The encroachment, I think possibly Villa could or couldn't mount an argument about, possibly that could have been retaken. But, all in all, I thought, and it's rare that I say this, I thought in terms of the actual decisions that were arrived at, I think VAR got it pretty much sort of spot on Saturday. The only concern, once again, that I've got, and I sound like a broken record with this, is that, every time that was referred, and there were a few little incidents that were referred to Stockley Park during that game, nobody in the crowd had the slightest clue what was going on. Mm. And, that is a real, real issue, I think, moving forward for this system. I've said it before, I've said it again, Charlie. Personally, I've just bin it, but I know no one's going to be listening to me on that.
I don't know, James. Personally, I think the tide may be turning, because you may say you sound like a broken record, but literally most of the fans that we speak to on the fan shows are saying, they go to the games. They don't know. Those paying punters, those fans, those supporters, for 3 minutes, they're completely out of the loop, and they're the ones at the game who are at the spectacle, want to be part of it, and they feel like they're almost a forgotten set of fans, which is an argument that, should be heard, and there definitely needs to be improvements made in the off-season, that is for sure. Well, before we look at Brighton, though, James, we are ever so close, not to Christmas, but that good old January transfer window where transfer gossip, we're thirsty for it, rumours left, right and centre. Sheffield United are having a brilliant season, but can you see them, you'll be the man in the know, adding to their ranks in January?
Well, I certainly think they want to add to their ranks. And I don't think the areas where they're looking to add are going to be any great surprise to anybody. They did an awful lot of business up front in the summer transfer window. I think they had to do that because, obviously, scoring goals can be a problem for an awful lot of teams that get promoted from the Championship, especially sides that have spent, as long away from the Premier League as Sheffield United had before they came back. And I think that business was done really well. I think you're seeing the effects of that now when you look at where they are in the table. But there's a couple of areas of the squad that are still possibly a little bit light. I think, certainly know that Chris would like to bring in some cover for Chris Basham, one of the overlapping centre-halves, a little bit of competition there, possibly for Jack O'Connell as well on the other side of the pitch, because those are pretty sort of specialist positions, especially the way that Sheffield United play with the overlapping centre-halves. And, I think they would find themselves in a little bit of a sticky situation if they lost one of those two at the moment, because, it's not an area of the squad that they would want to change, because it's so integral to the way that they go about things. And if they lost one of those two players to injury or suspension, it possibly could change the dynamic of the way that they have to play. And when they're going so well in the league, why on earth would they want to do that? So I think that's an area where they'll look to add. I think possibly look to bring in a wing back and maybe somebody else in midfield, just sort of an athletic box-to-box midfielder, just to complement and compete with what they've already got.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting, though, out of the positions that you mentioned and the work they'd already done on the summer, to add to that, a name that I'm seeing constantly linked is Ollie Watkins, obviously making that step up, doing brilliantly for Brentford, scoring goals. Is that a move that you think, is there any truth in this rumour at all?
Well, despite what I've just said, I mean, Ollie's certainly a player that they admire. I can say that for an absolute fact, and they have been sort of monitoring his progress for quite a considerable period of time. I mean, it's quite interesting the number of players that Chris Wilder has signed or looked at from Brentford, of course. So quite clearly that's a team that he really admires, even though Sheffield United go about their business on and off the pitch in a slightly different way. So I wouldn't be at all surprised at some point in the future to see Ollie, if he hasn't already moved on, become the subject of a serious bid from Sheffield United. Whether or not their budget during this transfer window will stretch to a move then, I don't know, when you look at some of the other sort of priorities. I mean, another name on the list that I know is that the coaching staff at Bramall Lane are looking at is Everton's Mason Holgate, and you know, he's obviously a player that is well known in this part of the world, having started his career with Barnsley. But again, you know, the situation there could be quite complicated, not least by the fact that he's started their last 8 or 9 games, I believe it is, and you know, potentially there will be a new manager coming into Goodison Park as well. But that's the type of player that Sheffield United are looking at, players with real potential and who perhaps either for one reason or another haven't quite fulfilled it at the top flight yet, or haven't been given a chance to do that. So those two players, you know, they do sort of tick all the boxes of what Sheffield United look for in potential signings under Chris Wilder.
Yeah, very similar to the Lise Mousset story, because obviously you spoke of it, his time in France, and now the wonders that he's doing. You know, obviously Sheffield United and Chris Wilder and his team have a knack for just taking those players on to the next level. And it's an interesting one, that Everton one, because obviously with Holgate, Ancelotti now, he's going to want his own players, his own system. Apparently he's took that job on the provision that he's going to be back. So maybe Holgate may be left on the fringe. We could see that move to Sheffield United. It could actually work that they have that new man in charge. Very interesting there. But Brighton on the weekend, obviously a team that tried to play creative football, fluid football. It's going to be a tough game. They didn't get the victory last night to Crystal Palace in what was a rival game for them. But what do you make of them, James?
I think that, I mean, listen, clearly they're a really good side, aren't they? I mean, I was looking at some facts and figures today, and you know, I think the last time that Brighton didn't enjoy more of the ball, didn't return at a higher percentage, possession percentage than any opposition team they played, I think was when they played Tottenham Hotspur at the start of October. And when you consider that they've faced Liverpool and Arsenal and Manchester United in that run, it goes to show, I think, how they'll look to approach this game against Sheffield United. I mean, they're clearly a really talented side. They've got a player up front in Neil Mopay, who I know, again, Sheffield United looked at and
ex-Brentford again
during the close season. So it's going to be a really fascinating game. The other thing as well that I think is really interesting is the last time Sheffield United lost away from home, 332 days ago, was against Swansea City in January. And, of course, who was the manager of that Swansea City side? Graham Potter, who's now at Brighton and Hove Albion. So they'll be... they'll be looking to gain a little bit of revenge over him, I think, for that, by extending that run further than it already is.
Oh, James, how crazy is that? You know, nearly 365 days since Sheffield United. Look, that's unbelievable, isn't it? When you just ruled that off, we know we said, oh, they haven't lost on their travels. But when you say it and put a number on it like that, it's incredible.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about the fact they're unbeaten away from home in the Premier League this season. Quite clearly they are, because obviously they wouldn't have been... excuse me, 332 days without a defeat away from home. But, you know, you don't go on a run like that, do you, Charlie, by fluke, you know. And that just goes to show, I think, how well-drilled they are in terms of that system that they employ. But I also think it just goes to show the commitment and the attitude and the character of that squad as well. So, you know, I think that's a really, really... There's an awful lot of statistics out there, isn't there? But I think that is possibly one of the most revealing ones about Sheffield United at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the only statistic is the one I want from you is a prediction, James. You know it's how we end the show. What do you think on the weekend?
Do you know what? I'm actually going to go for a 1-1 draw.
No, you're not, James. Come
I'm
on.
Gonna go, I,
Before
I'll
Christmas.
Be, I'll be rooting for a Sheffield United win. Do you know what? I actually don't think, Charlie, joking aside, I don't think either side would be too disappointed with that. I think Brighton would look upon it as a good point at home against the team above them in the table, and I think Sheffield United would look at it as a good point on the road that stretches that long unbeaten run against a team that's you know, clearly going to be really dangerous opposition.
Yeah, James, as I always do, I'll make you absolutely right. Always the man with the knowledge and in the know talking about the signings. Just brilliant. He is the Sheffield United Fan Show. James Shield there, as he does, he joins us every week, 10:30 to 11, every Tuesday, when it is the Blaze Takeover, as it always is on Love Sport Radio, as it is with every club. You've got a team you support. You come and let your views be heard. It's your team, your voice. Find out when your club are on and come and join us. We are across all the news as we always are right here on Love Sport Radio. Well, this was me on the Sheffield United Fan Show, Charlie Hawkins, joined with James Shield from the Sheffield Star. We will see you after Christmas when the Blades are back. And guess what? They might still be unbeaten on the road.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.